Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
Another live Monday. You have tuned in to LoveRadioNetwork.com. This is the Final Authority. Well, the Final Authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, well, we're going to kind of pick up on what we left off, similar to on last week, and we're dealing with does it make a difference if I say Jesus or Yeshua? Does it make any difference if I do I have to say his name in Hebrew? All right, so we're going to deal with that today. Now, if you have a question or comment, we want you to call the number today. I will say a prayer, then after I say the prayer, I'll give you some information about the number to call. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. Great knowledge of the living true God, most high, eternal God. We ask, O God, you grant unto us wisdom in your word. Open our eyes, O God, and may we truly know you in a true, genuine, authentic relationship. By truly in our heart, believing on your beloved Son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. The one who laid his life down for us on the royal cross and died for our sins and shed his blood for us, was buried and rose again from among the dead, who is alive forevermore, who we believe on with our heart. And we accept that we're saved by your grace through faith in Christ alone, your beloved Son. And Father, we ask your word would abound and increase and multiply in us, through us, to and for the glory of Christ. We give you praise and glory, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call the area code 516-531-9623. Remember that number to call. Write it down, please. Area code is 516-531-9623. Now, after you can listen to the program by calling that number, but once you want to ask your question or make your comment, even if you want to express a different view than I'm presenting, press the number one on your phone, and my producer will connect you to my live show, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority to ask your question, make your comment, or express a different view. Okay? So on last week, we dealt with dealing with the letter J. And if there was no letter J, in terms of the English language, did not exist in the first translation of the Authorized King James Version in 1611. There's no letter J. And so if there's no letter J, for an example, if it was the letter I in the place of the letter J that we have today. So the letter I at that time, if you were reading like the book of James, or you read about James, it would have the letter I, James. If it was John, it would have an I, John. Okay? And so we understand that the English language during this time was still in the process of being fully developed. And so now the letter I had similar of a Y sound, but the letter J was used, and that was a consonant, and it was used then in the place of the letter I. Now, because it was replaced, it doesn't negate the reality of the historicity of James or John. It's just a different pronunciation, okay? And so we're going to deal with that today. Does it make a difference if we say Jesus or Yeshua? Now, we say Jesus, that's the English way of saying, the King James Version of what we say Jesus. And we look at the Hebrew word Yeshua. Some say Yehoshua or Yeshua. Different ways, different ones says it. And they make their arguments for whatever. But I want to keep this just simple and clear. Does it make any difference before God if I say Jesus according to my English speaking language, or if I say Yeshua? Some people go as far as to base their salvation on the proper pronunciation of his Hebraic name. And we find nothing within the text of the Holy Scriptures at all whatsoever to even remotely indicate that their salvation in properly enunciating or pronouncing his name properly. You can pronounce a person's name properly and don't even like them, you know. But we're going to deal with this. So going back for an example, I'm dealing with the change here in terms of the letter I and the letter J. The King James Version, the first translation, King James Version in 1611, the letter I did not exist. In fact, the letter U was placed instead of the V. Okay? And for an example, let me show you something. Like in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. All right, well, let me read that out of the first literal 1611 King James Version Bible. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Dawood, or David, D-A-U-I-D. Well, because it has a U, it was pronounced Dawood closer to the Latin and the Hebraic way of saying it. Okay, now we say now in English David, referring back to the Old Testament King, King David. Because we say David, it's just a different pronunciation in the English language. The word David has the exact same meaning as the name Dawid in Hebrew or Latin. The only thing that changed is how it's enunciated in another language. It doesn't negate the historical reality of the person of David, or David, King David, the shepherd boy who became king of Israel, okay? And so, likewise, when we're dealing with the name Jesus, because some people go as far as say, well, that's blasphemous to say Jesus. We shouldn't say Jesus because his name isn't Jesus. Well, actually, the name has a meaning, and the name means salvation. Now, we went over on last week on Matthew chapter 1. We dealt with the context of when the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph was engaged to Mary. Mary was a young virgin, and Mary ended up showing forth that she was pregnant. So Joseph had just assumed then, based upon understanding logic, that she must have lain with another man and committed an adulterous act and got pregnant. So Joseph decided he was going to put Mary away privately. He was going to go ahead and write her a bill of divorcement. But while he thought on these things, the Bible says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. All right? In Hebrew, all right, Yeshua. In Greek, Jesus. In English, Jesus. For he shall save his people from the sins. What? His name means salvation. The one who saves. And we also had covered St. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, his son, might be saved." Why? He came to be the Savior. For the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So, Jesus means salvation. God, my salvation. The one who saves. Now, Yeshua, the Hebrew word Yeshua, we know it already, means God, my salvation. My salvation has to do with one being rescued, one being delivered. Okay? Well, this is what the name Jesus means. Some people go as far as I said to go and say, well, you shouldn't say Jesus. Well, it depends on what language you're speaking. Some people will never, ever know the Hebrew name. I grew up, I didn't know the Hebrew name, but I was saved because I believed on him. Why was I saved? Because I end up knowing a Hebrew word or some Hebrew names of the Bible? Absolutely not. My salvation is not contingent upon knowing how to pronunciate the name or coming to the knowledge of a name. It is me coming to a true, genuine faith and belief and trust in him and calling on him in prayer, trusting in him for my salvation. We'll deal with that a little later. But let me say this, though. I do want to bring a point out. Now, we say Jerusalem in English. Somebody in Hebrew may say Jerusalem, all right? Well, because we say Jerusalem, we understand that Jerusalem in English is the same as Jerusalem in Hebrew. We're not making a distinction. It doesn't negate the reality of the physical geographical location in what we call the Holy Land in the Middle East, Jerusalem. All right? Now, some people go as far as to say that, well, Jesus was created in 325 AD at the Nicene Council. Well, there's absolutely unequivocally no primary source to even substantiate that idea. That's just some made up stuff somebody decided to deflect from the historical primary source information. Jesus was not created in no 325 AD at the Nicene Council. He never was created. He always was. He pre-existed before the world was, and he's the one who spoke the world into existence. He always was. But we look at the fact that just because the name, the letter J wasn't used, you're looking at a letter. You cannot negate the fact that he existed previously. So we look at that. Now, what we look at is the fact that he existed, he was real. He was known during the time as Yeshua as he walked in Jerusalem. But we have to understand, we look at the linguistics of the scriptures and languages, that if you spoke, for example, Latin, you might say Jesus. If you spoke in German, you might say Jesus. If you spoke in Chinese, you might say Yisu. All right? And if you spoke French, you say Zezu. Swahili, Yesu. Italian, Jisu. Or Arabic, Issa. Or Greek, Isus. Or Spanish, Jesus. If you speak Hebrew, you're saying Yeshua. You're still saying salvation. You're saying salvation in all those different languages. All right? So it's not a matter of speaking Hebrew, because Hebrew, speaking Hebrew, or learning Hebrew, don't make you more holier, and it doesn't even give you a standing with God. All right? What is it that gives you a standing with God? It's not the pronunciation. It is the coming to true biblical repentance and faith in the biblical Messiah, who we as English-speaking people call Jesus, and whatever language you may be reading the Bible, whatever translation you may have, you then use the word that is equivalent to Jesus, or Yeshua, or Jesus, or Issa, or Jesu, or Yesu, or Zezu, or Yesu, or Jesus, or Yesus. All right? So there's different ways of saying it in different languages. But I don't think that God is so much caught up into the language that every person that in every language got to find out the Hebrew name to be saved. No, I'm saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. So do you know the biblical Messiah? So does it make a difference if we say Jesus or Yeshua in God's eyes? No, it doesn't make no difference. Because there's some people who even died, all right, who's gone on, who left this life, who never knew the Hebrew name, but they believed on the biblical Messiah, the Son of God, who laid his life down and died on the cross for their sins and shed his blood for the forgiveness of the sin, was buried and rose again from among the dead, and who's alive forevermore. They believed on him. Now, let me show you something in Acts of the Apostles. Well, you know, I'm gonna go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. I'm going to go to my foundational text. But I want to look at something. Well, you know what? Let me take it there. We'll go there right now. We'll just go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, the foundational text that I want to use right now. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, here is Peter speaking to some religious leaders. And he makes a very profound profound statement here, a proclamation in reference to the name of Jesus the Christ. All right. He says in verse, I'm going to just start at verse 12. You can read the preceding verses on your own time if you would. I encourage that. So he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right, we must be saved. So if we must be saved, then what must I do to be saved? How can I be saved? If I'm not saved and I must be saved, then how can I be saved? We'll deal with that. But notice what he says. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What's that name? Well, you read the preceding verses, he's talking about the name of Jesus Christ. When you go back to two verses up, they're dealing with the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Look at verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Wow. So it's talking about the name Jesus Christ. All right. Now, looking at this, the name, Jesus, the Savior, the name, Jesus, Savior. He's the one who saved. So it's only through him you can be saved. He is a person. So when I say Jesus Christ, or if a person says Yeshua, Christos, or that would be Greek, Jesus Christos, that would be Jesus Christ in Greek, or whatever language you are that you speak, but you're calling the biblical Messiah. You're calling the one that was born of a virgin by the power of the Spirit, the very one who was the very divine, unique Son of the living God, the very one who walked in perfect obedience to his Father, the one who was literally nailed to a cross and lifted up on that cross, the very one who had all of your sins placed on him, the very one who was judged by the Father God and was smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted, the one who satisfied the demands of divine justice for you and I, the one who dies for all of our sins and shed all of his blood for us to come to faith and trust in him because he's your salvation. That's the only way by which I can have a perfect standing with God. That's the way in which I can be saved. Now, let me take you real quickly. I'm kind of rushing a little bit. I need to slow down a little bit. But in Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, I want to show you something here. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, there was a jailer. Or you could say back then, we would say correctional officer or whatever. Prison guard. He came to Paul and Silas while he was on guard, on duty. Paul and Silas was taken in custody for steadfastly proclaiming the name of Christ and having cast out an unclean spirit out of a woman. and they took them and put them in prison. And the jailer goes to Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And look at verse 31 of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And they said, they refers back to Paul and Silas, because they were the two that were addressed. They said this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house." Now he said, believe on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say you have to know his Hebrew name and you have to pronounce his name in Hebrew. He said, believe on who? The Lord Jesus, the Savior, Christ. So it's about believing. So you must believe. It's not your work, your performance, or your deeds. It's do you truly rest your heart of faith upon the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and what he's done? Because see, here, Christ had already suffered and died and shed his blood, already had risen from among the dead, already had given evidences of his actual physical bodily resurrection from among the dead, and after which he ascended back up into heaven from which he had originally came from. And so, Paul and Silas are telling this man to believe on. So we're dealing with this man apparently had knowledge about Jesus Christ, knowing why they were put in jail. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you might know how to pronounce his name. That's good. In whatever language you speak, or you might not know Hebrew, but if you believe on the biblical Messiah, that's where your salvation comes in at. So it's believed. Why? Because he is salvation personified in human form. He is our salvation. He is our eternal life. In fact, let me show you something. Let me take you to 1 John chapter 1 while I'm thinking of it. This wasn't something I had laid out to go over, but I'm going to go over this particular text right now real quickly. Okay. In 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read the first few verses. Down to verse 3. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Now here is John writing. He's a contemporary witness of the life, the ministry, the teachings, the miracles, the sufferings, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and the post-appearances of Christ's resurrection. And he says, we heard him. We've seen him. We have looked upon him. Our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. So it's called the word of life. And we have seen it. And watch this. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So watch what he says, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with whom? The Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's it right there. Amen. So he's showing you that eternal life is a person. He says that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that's referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is eternal life. He is our only salvation. So apart from him, apart from knowing him, apart from by faith embracing him as your Lord and Savior, there would be no salvation for you and I. Because he is salvation personified. He is eternal life in human form. He is salvation in human form, and he's the only one that can save you and I. Okay? Now, again, I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 10. in Romans chapter 10. And this is a very common verse, but I want to take my time to kind of spend a time in this particular text in Romans chapter 10. Now, I do want to mention this, that the letter J was the last letter that was added to the English language. I believe it was around 1632, 34, somewhere up in there. No later than 35, I believe it was. And so that's the English language. However, when you look into what is called Egyptian hieroglyphics, did you not know they have the letter J? The letter J isn't like 500 years old. It's older than that. It's like over 5,000 years old. If you start doing the research, I have been doing some research, and I was really amazed at me coming along the knowledge and the insight of knowing they had, which the Egyptian hieroglyphics, and it was like a cobra snake, and that was the letter J. And so the letter J went way back there in over 5,000 years ago in the Egyptian hieroglyphics. For example, you had a lion that was crouching down, a lion. That was considered the letter L. So you had different hieroglyphics pictures that conveyed different letters. So the letter J really isn't anything new at all. Okay? And so, again, go and look up the letters of the Egyptian hieroglyphics. If you just look up the alphabets of the Egyptian hieroglyphics, and you'll see. It's amazing. Because I just thought that, you know, the letter J was created in. Well, no, it was actually added in the English language, okay? Because during the 1611, the English language was still in its developing stage. And now it's complete. We got 26 letters in the English alphabet, okay, complete, all right? So going back to that, the Egyptian hieroglyphics is really amazing. So it was nothing really new. Then we look at Hebrew, we look at Greek, we look at Latin. It's amazing that we can come across when you start doing the research and go to the primary sources. But what I want to do right now is I'm going to look at Romans chapter 10, all right? I'm going to take a brief break in just a moment. Okay, so in Romans chapter 10, this is very profound. Could we dealt with in chapter 4 of Acts about there's neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So the only name that one can be saved is the person of Jesus Christ. The only way by which you can be saved. You know, in fact, in St. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus made a profound statement. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So it's all through the person of Jesus Christ. Again, I want to make it clear. Jesus, in 1611, in the English version, was spelled I-E-S-U-S, Jesus, okay? So it was spelled that way, Jesus. But the letter J was added, and now in the place of the I, and it was a consonant, the letter J, and it's pronounced Jesus. It didn't negate the historicity of the fact. Now, some people go as far as to say, well, Jesus comes from Zeus. There's absolutely no historical evidence to even remotely substantiate that false statement. Okay, it's definitely false. Because there's a Zeus, a name and similarity doesn't mean the same thing. Well, the difference also, you're dealing with Zeus was Greek mythology, and Jesus Christ is historical reality. And what some do is take historical reality and try to make it historical mythology, and take historical mythology and try to make it historical reality. And you don't want to get confused the two, because you get mixed up. So Jesus had nothing to do with Zeus. and Zeus is not Jesus, and Jesus is not Zeus. Jesus is the divine, unique Son of God who always pre-existed, who always was, will always be, forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Okay? We're going to take a break. Stay tuned in. We'll get to our chapter over here in Romans chapter 10, and we'll see you after the break. Can Win Show, and we're your hosts. I'm Eric.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sakisha, and our mission is to help educate, empower, and encourage couples in three key areas.
We help couples to develop more effective communication skills.
We also help them gain a greater control of their finances so they're no longer living paycheck to paycheck.
And finally, we help them to establish a greater level of intimacy.
Make sure you tune into our broadcast with other transparent couples from around the world every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on the Love Radio Network.
What does gospel mean to you?
Gospel, what it means to me, is freedom, hope, salvation.
This is the Love Radio Network.
That song was Faith by Jordan Feliz. Faith. We all got to have some faith, and that's really what we need. And in fact, do you have true, genuine, authentic faith that's rested upon authority and the revelation of the Holy Scriptures? Your faith should be solely rested upon the Word of God. Before I go back into my subject matter, let me mention this real quickly. If in fact you desire and you're in a position to give a free will donation, financial contribution toward our monthly payment for having this podcast, you can just go to loveradionetwork.com under Final Authority. Love is L-U-V, V as in victory, loveradionetwork.com. Go under Final Authority, and on that page you'll see the donation, and your donation will specifically be used specifically for the support of our monthly payment for this show, okay? Oh, I don't benefit from having anything going into my pocket at all, just to let you know. And so if you want to donate, you can. All right. God bless. So now, so we're going to do it in Romans chapter 10. Now, over the years, there have been so many I dealt with so many different people over the years. They want to debate what was Jesus' real name and all that. And, you know, well, the thing is, when you read the book of Revelation, you find out that there is people from every nation, every tongue, every kindred that will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have come to faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And they came to faith and trust in Christ. Thus, they accepted Christ as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, and they were washed from their sins and robed in his righteousness. And these are people from every walk of life, every ethnic background. There are people that walk this earth who have never heard the Hebrew name Yeshua, but they heard the name Jesus. There's people who may have known only French and just knew Zezu, him as Zezu in their language. Somebody in German who never heard of the Hebraic word Yeshua, and they said Jesus, which is as German. Or if they spoke Italian, they said Jesus. All right, so it's not about the pronunciation of the name in the Hebrew. It's about knowing who he is truly from the heart and the soul, embracing God's beloved Son as your Lord and Savior. Now, let's look at Romans chapter, I said 10, right? Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do 10. I'm going to do 10 and go back to chapter 3. But let's go to chapter 10. And I went over this last week, but I want to show you something. In chapter 10, Paul says, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Wow. All right, we'll deal with this in a little more detail, but let me make some comments on the verses I just read. So Paul's desire was that to see people in Israel saved. He said, I bore them record. They got a zeal. They had a very religious zeal, a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they were going about to establish their own righteousness. They wanted then God to accept them based upon their terms. God says, no, I have terms that I have instituted and established that does not change. So I don't change and adjust to suit you and what you have established on terms. You must honor my terms. And the terms of God is Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So after you make all observation of the law, it points you to Christ, that you need Christ as your Savior. Because Paul says also in the book of Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. All right? So after faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Why? Because we're justified by faith in Christ. So People even today are so zealous of the Old Testament law. Got all this zeal and want to speak Hebrew, all right? And want to be Hebrew Israelites. Well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I am a saint in Christ. I'm not a Hebrew Israelite because of the color of my skin. They get into all that. I'm not going to argue all that right now. I just want to focus upon Jesus, the biblical Messiah, the very unique Son of the living God. He's the end of the law for righteousness, okay, to everyone that believeth. Then he goes on and tells you about believing, all right? So now he goes on and he says, but what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So when Paul says the word is near you, he's talking about a message. There was a word or a message in which he had proclaimed to the people in Rome. He says, it's near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. This word, it's not far from you. It's not that you go somewhere far and have to seek it and go do all these performance and things you have to go and accomplish. This is so near you. It's a message that we preach. We preach the message. So the message is near you. Then what's what he says? The word is near you. It's near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of the message of what? Faith. The message of faith. Yeah. Well, see, remember, they were so bent on establishing their own righteousness. They were so bent on them being the Israelites in the context. And they were ignorant. They had knowledge of some things, but ignorant of what? God's righteousness. And because they was ignorant of God's righteousness, they was going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Do you believe on the biblical Messiah, Christos, who in the text is Jesus, the salvation of the human race? It's only him. So, he says, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him, Christ, from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. There's no difference between Jew or Greek. There's no difference your ethnic background. You come to true faith in Christ. There's no difference because, see, all have sinned. So all Jew, Greek, Gentile, white, black, Hispanic, Latino, whatever, Asian, Latin American, black, white, all have sinned. But Christ died for everyone, so there's no difference. You come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, watch this, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that what call upon him. Have you went and called on him in prayer? He says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on who? The name of the Lord. You call on the one who is salvation. I'm calling him for my, what's this, shall be saved. What? You realize you need to be saved. Apart from him, you can't have salvation. It's not because you've done so many religious works, good deeds, done humanitarian work for this nation and that nation. It's not because of all the good things you have done. It's because what Christ has done for you on the rugged cross. Wow. So, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I call on him for my salvation. Why? He's the one that satisfied the demands of divine justice. He's the one that died for my sins. He's the one that shed all his blood for the forgiveness of my sins and to redeem me. He's the one that was buried and rose again from among the dead for my justification. Now, with that said, let me take you to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, looking at verse 23. For all have sinned, all Jew and Gentile, everyone have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone have sinned and fallen into a spiritual alienation and separation from God. All have sinned and come short. So no one measures up to the standard of God's perfection. All have sinned and come short. So none of us measure up to God's perfect standard of righteousness by our works or our ability or by our performance. So all have sinned. That means all the sinners. And come short. So we don't measure up. As good as you like to think you are, you still don't measure up perfectly, flawlessly, before God. You still mess up. You still come short of God's perfect standard. The only person to ever maintain the continuity of perfection and perfectly measure up to the standard of God was his beloved son, Jesus Christ. For the Father God said of his son, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. He said that not about anyone, but about only his son. And so, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then it goes on to verse 24 of Romans chapter 3, and it says, being justified, how? Freely by his grace through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified, which means I'm cleared of guilt and I'm declared righteous. So it is God solely contingent upon the sacrificial death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that redemptive work that Christ has done. Christ, by his suffering and death for my sins and shed of his blood, has redeemed me. So it says being justified freely. Freely. That means without cause. It didn't cost me anything. By his grace, God bestowed something upon me. I didn't earn it. Through what? The redemption that is in Christ. It's because of what Christ has done. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Wow. The word propitiation means satisfaction, which means that God had put his son on public display to satisfy the judgment of God against sin. All your sins was judged upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus became the propitiation and the one and only person to satisfy the judgment of God for you. It was all through what he done for you on the cross. And it goes on and says in verse 26, to demonstrate, I say it at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, which believeth in the salvation, the one who saved. That's Jesus. In English, it's Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua. In Greek, it's Jesus. In Arabic, it's Issa. In Italian, it's Jesu. In Swahili, it's Yesu. In French, it's Zezu. In Chinese, it's Yesu. In German, it's Jesus. In Latin, it's Jesus. So, again, I stick because I'm a English-speaking person, I say Jesus. It's just my salvation. So, God did not hold back his judgment when he judged his son for our sin. And he did it to demonstrate his righteous character. So that he might be what? Just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe. Now, if this was the old English Bible prior to the letter J being added, I would have said, I believe in Jesus. That's how it's pronounced. Jesus. The I had a Y sound because it was spelled I-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Jesus. So that's how you would say it. But the letter J was added as a consonant, and now the pronunciation has changed, but the person hasn't changed, and who he is hasn't changed, and what he has done for us hasn't changed. And I believe on him. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. So, he goes on and says that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. See, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. When he says, where is boasting then? What does it mean? Well, you can't go before God and walk in God's court of law, stand before Almighty Holy God and say, look what I've done. I've done this. I've done that. And you can't boast about anything you've done because you can't deserve God's salvation. Salvation is delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin. It is not only being forgiven, but it's being regenerated by the Spirit of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Spirit, reconciled to God. All that is included in the one word, salvation. I'm fully saved. Okay? Now, again, where is boasting then? It is excluded. The word excluded means inadmissible. It is kicked out, it's banned, shut out, and locked out. So there's no way you can come in God's court of law and boast about anything you've done at all to deserve salvation, because no matter how good you might think you are, you ain't good enough to save yourself. You ain't good enough to redeem yourself. You can't wash yourself from all your sins. You can't redeem yourself to God. You can't seal yourself with the Holy Spirit. So that's solely based upon the work that Christ Jesus, God's unique Son, has done for us on that cross. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by what? The law of faith. Do you believe? Do you rest your faith upon Christ? Do you trust in the finished work of Christ? So verse 28 of Romans 3, he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You can't boast about anything. You can't brag about it. You might do it, but before God, it does not do you any good whatsoever. It's just a waste of your time. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm justified by faith in the finished work of Christ. In fact, chapter 4, verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 1. All right, let me read that one, all right? So in chapter 4, verse 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So Christ was delivered for our offenses. We were the offenders. We were the one that offended the law of God. We were the ones that were the criminal, committed criminal acts of sin against God's law. And Christ went in our place and was delivered over to suffer for us in our place and was delivered over to God's judgment for us. He was delivered for our offenses. So in our place, on our behalf, he suffered what we was to suffer. He suffered as though he was the offender. Why? Because our sins were placed upon him and he was judged as an offender so that we could be redeemed and not come under the judgment of God, so that we could be redeemed to God. And so he was delivered for our offenses and was what? Raised again for what? Our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So I believe on the Lord Jesus the Christ with all my heart. He was delivered for my offenses. He was raised again for my justification. And the Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith. It's not by my works. And I do a lot of works. And I do works to the glory of God. I work to bless people. I serve people. There's a lot of things I do. I don't want to go into all that because that's not the purpose of the teaching, and now that I'm going to talk about all the works I do anyway. But those works I do because I love God, I serve mankind. I love Christ. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I bless people. I serve them. But all that I do does not save me. I do it because I'm saved, but it doesn't save me. I can't go on God's court of law. Well, Lord, I do these things. I go and I feed the homeless, Lord, and I go visit the, convalescent homes, visit the elderly, and so on, so on, so on. That does not give me any standing with God in terms of my justification. I'm justified by my faith that solely rested upon Jesus Christ, and what he has done for me on the cross. That's, and so my faith is in Christ. It's not about a local church building. It's not about, I say that because, you know what, I just read a statement the other day. A statement said, there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. No, there's no salvation outside Jesus Christ, because the Catholic Church didn't die for my sins. The Catholic Church may have shed blood, but it didn't shed blood for me, for the forgiveness of my sins and redeem me. So the Catholic Church and no other local assembly or church body can ever save me. My salvation is not in any, I don't care if it's church, if I'm Christ, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, evangelical, non-denominational, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third, or whatever. My salvation is solely contingent upon the person of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And so learn to rest your faith on Christ and Christ alone. That's what matters. Committed and dedicated to truly believing on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Okay? Now, so that was in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and Romans chapter 5, verse 1. But I want to show you something again in the latter part of verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord, the Savior, the Anointed One. Every time you read Jesus, you can put the word salvation or the word Savior there. Because that's what it means, Savior, salvation. It's the one who saves. So, notice, it's through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christos. It's through Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So, the biblical Messiah, you got to rest your faith solely upon him. You need to know the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the unadulterated, true, uncut gospel of Christ. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about, per se, a religious message. I'm talking about truly knowing that Jesus Christ is God's unique Son who literally was nailed to a cross and bore all of your sins in his own body on that cross. And on that cross, he totally was judged by the Father and satisfied the judgment of God against sin. Because all of your sin is against God. And so now that your sin was satisfied, the judgment of God was satisfied upon judging sin on Christ, and you come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is by grace are you saved through faith. Oh, wow, man. Well, we're out of time. We'll see you next week. Thank you for staying tuned in to the Final Authority. Wow, I wasn't even conscious of the time. Well, the Final Authority airlines every Monday. We'll see you next Monday live. Will of God be done? Christ be glorified. And remember, God's word is God's final court of authority. God bless.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.